This podcast examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and just generally the wisdom of others. I believe in the importance of showing gratitude, and the greatest way for me to do that is to share the tools, tips, and teachings of others that I've found immensely beneficial, which is why I started this podcast. My intention is to provide tools, ideas, and contemplations to benefit anyone who wants to listen, because life is workable and totally awesome. In the third episode of Everything is Workable, which is titled Discipline, the Antidote to Procrastination, I mentioned the practice I have of asking myself this question. If death is certain, and the time until death is uncertain, what's the most important thing? It's something that I got from, you guessed it, Ani Pamachandran. And in today's episode, I'm going to focus on just this as a mantra and teaching. It comes from a response that she gives to a question in one of her talks. I think, if I remember correctly, it's from How to Get Unstuck, which is a great talk, and you can get it from Sounds True. So someone asks her this question about discipline, and he wants to know how to cultivate it into his practice a bit better. He shares how he'll be sort of at loose ends in an evening, something we're all pretty familiar with, and he'll pass by his shrine room, consider that he could go and sit, do some meditation for a bit, check in, see what's going on, but he will probably only do that one time out of like 100. And despite the fact that he's aware of this, he continues to go and do things like he'll make a snack or he'll check sports scores or whatever, just like mess around on the internet. Effectively what he thinks as kind of wasting time when he could probably be doing something more effective like meditating. So Pema, in her beautifully kind and caring way, presents something which, if we really examine it, could sound rather blunt and harsh, and I'm going to be examining it and how it can sound blunt and harsh in this episode. So she says to him that in such moments, she asks herself, if death is certain and the time until death is uncertain, what's the most important thing? Effectively, what she's saying is, you're going to die. You don't know when, and knowing this, how are you going to act right now? In this moment? What are your choices right now in this moment? So on the face of it, it could cause a bit of panic, a bit of like, do it now because tomorrow you could be dead. And I would have to say that it should instill a sense of urgency, that's true. But we must tread carefully because we don't want that urgency to turn into fear. Because fear often paralyzes us, keeps us from doing anything. So really, this is just another way to say, live as if today were your last day. And by that, we don't mean run around in a panic and spend all your money recklessly or something like that. What that means is appreciate the present moment because it's all that you've really got. While we could always drop dead tomorrow, most of us, especially in the Western world, probably won't. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't live with at least a modicum of expectation that tomorrow isn't a guarantee. So, this teaching is a contemplation on death. And most of us don't like contemplating our death. Death bothers us immensely. It's frightening to think that, like, we may be gone in an instant and forgotten in just a blink of an eye when we look at how old the planet is and the blip that our life plays on it. I know that used to freak me out a lot as a kid, actually, thinking about infinity, for example. So, for that reason, contemplating death sounds pretty off-putting, or depressing even, maybe even really morbid. But I don't see it that way, or not anymore. I did a lot when I was a kid, and when I was younger. And I don't see Pema as presenting it that way either. What she's actually saying is that we shouldn't be so naive as to think that we'll live forever, or even for a very long time. We need to be honest with ourselves. What this teaching does is invite us to enjoy our life right now, by being honest with ourselves. not to be so fearful of death, but to live with awareness of it, and therefore use the time that we have, which as far as we know might just be a few hours or until tomorrow afternoon or next week, but to use that time to the very best of our ability. I went into great depth on the importance of appreciating what we have right now while we have it in the episode I did on the importance of wonder, which is kind of like where that angle is coming from of appreciating what we have right now, appreciating life. So contemplating death is a very specific way to appreciate that right now we are alive. From my observations, I find that most people don't like to think about death because they're unhappy with their life. Death is a very final conclusion, potentially. I mean, depends on what you've studied and stuff, whether or not you buy into something like rebirth. But, I mean, if energy can't be created or destroyed, then we've already lived forever. But we can say that as far as our consciousness goes, death appears to be pretty damn final. I mean, it's not pleasant to think that we could be dead next week if we're dissatisfied with our life right now. This is where we get into kind of a catch-22. We're unhappy with life, so death is frightening, and we don't want to think about it. But then, death is frightening, and we don't want to think about it because we're unhappy with our life. And we're unhappy with our life because maybe we've put off things that we wanted to do, or because it hasn't turned out how we thought it would, or we're just really dissatisfied with something, like our career, our family, our lack of experience, etc., whatever it is. And maybe we can see, like the questioner to Pema could see, how we put off something that we know might be better for us, or would be more beneficial or more fulfilling. We can see it, and yet we put it off anyway. It's a really hard habit to break, because most of us have been cultivating it for our entire life. It's a habit of excuses, of I'll do it later, or I'll have time when this thing is out of the way, or once I retire I can do all the things, but right now I have to stick to just these things, even if I don't like doing these things, or even if this thing doesn't really fit. So this teaching from Pema is inviting us to get out of that loop. And there are some key things about it that need to be understood for it to be effective as a positive and motivating statement, rather than something that adds to all that self-degradation or fear that we already have going for us. So one, it needs to be practiced with gentleness. It's not about telling ourselves in some really harsh tone that we need to just smarten up and get on with it. Mostly because that's probably what we're already doing up until this point, and that's shoulding ourselves, which is another topic that I covered earlier in this series. When we ask ourselves what the most important thing is, it's inviting us to bring awareness to the excuses that we make and the harsh way we punish or lecture ourselves for having those excuses, and how that harshness up to this point obviously hasn't been helping, because otherwise we would actually be getting these things done. So the second thing that we need to understand is that we don't believe that we'll die. I know that people say that they know they're going to die, and that's why thinking about death scares them, but proof to the contrary is all around us. If people really understood that they are going to die, they wouldn't take up smoking. They would never get into a car when drunk. In fact, they probably would never get into a car at all. Cars are hideously dangerous when you really think about it. This is called the optimism bias. Even if we have statistics right in front of us with our odds of getting a particular sort of cancer or developing dementia or having a mental illness or whatever, we seem to think that those stats don't apply to us because they only happen to other people. So how do we go about contemplating death? Asking ourselves what the most important thing is, knowing that we, like everything, are impermanent, without it becoming something that's really depressing or causing us to fly into a panic. Well, as you know, I like to tell a story. So I began applying this teaching to my practice the year before I finally got my first book published. I've written since I can remember. I have journals from when I was as young as 5. I used to take bunches of sheets of paper and fold them in half, staple the fold, and then write and illustrate an entire book just for fun. I have 6 finished manuscripts, 4 works in progress, and dozens of ideas for characters and stories. The single thing that I have been passionate about for my entire life is writing. To me, writing is akin to breathing. To me, writing is one of the most important things. And when I was a kid, I made up my mind that I wanted to be a published author by the time that I was 15. And then 15 came and went, and I got hugely depressed that I wasn't published, and I actually had no idea how to go about all of it, because, I mean, keeping in mind, the internet was very new, what was available was very different, I didn't really know where to begin. At 19, I got even more depressed about my failed author goal, I started to wonder if it would ever actually happen to me, and yet, I wasn't doing anything to make it happen. It was almost like I thought that if I'd wait and see, eventually, magically, somehow, one of my manuscripts would get to a publisher and then ta-da. Then, at 27, I listened to this teaching by Pema. And it sunk in. I began by simply asking it every morning when I woke up. If death is certain, and the time until death is uncertain, what's the most important thing? It's important that I share my writing with the world. It's important that I can call myself an author. It's important that I provoke people to think differently about things. I'd been working on the content for Wise at Any Age for a couple of years probably at that point, but it wasn't really getting anywhere. I'd have false starts, a good few months maybe of writing it really intensely, and then I'd hit a block in the narrative, and then I'd come back to it after a few weeks, and actually I wanted to kind of throw it all out, or be like, oh, this isn't working, it's really messy, or blah. But with this contemplation as my new daily practice, I went back and I asked myself more clearly what I wanted to write about. What did I want to put out there and when? I set a timeline. I developed a structure. Every morning I asked this question and every day it energized me. I would wake up and no matter what else I did that day, I was also working on my writing. I was working on my first book to go to publication and doing everything that I could to make that happen. And I recall that one day, after several months of this, when I was sat in my back garden, I was meditating, and I was sitting there, and suddenly the sensation came over me, and it was this thought with it. If I were to die right here, right now, that would be okay, because I am living my life as I want, to the fullest that I can, and I'm happy. Now, this wasn't a new sensation or new experience. I'd had it some years prior when I was still living in Canada. I was making lots of art, I was blogging regularly, and I was getting ready to move to London. It's a feeling of, right now, in this moment, my life feels totally fulfilled. Not that there aren't loads of things that I still want to do and intend to do, but it's like a sense of knowing that in that moment I'm doing all that I can to live well, to enjoy my life and to appreciate it. So if I were to die, that would be okay, even with all these other unfinished things. So then what? Well, it just kept flowing, you know? I kept flowing. This teaching didn't depress me or upset me or paralyze me. To consider my own death encouraged and enthused and inspired me to do what I love with my whole heart every day with strong intention. Every morning, by asking myself what the most important thing was, I was setting the intention to stop dreaming and start creating, to turn a dream into a goal and take steps to make that goal happen. And on the 12th of June, 2013, I announced my first published book to the world. This is not a practice meant to instill fear or to depress us. It's a practice of liberation. It shows us that we care for ourselves, we appreciate our impermanence, and that we're willing to live our life instead of letting it flow past us. So I invite you to ask yourself, first thing, every day, even if it's just for a week, just to see what happens, to experiment. If death is certain, and the time until death is uncertain, what is the most important thing? Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable.
My content will always be free, but if you'd like to help make it even better, you can become a patron by clicking the green button at the top of the page. I'm always looking for content suggestions and people to interview. If you've got any ideas or would like to contribute, you can get in touch through my website, www.faunawolfcreations.com. That's faunawolfcreations.com. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.